Welcome to the Global Citizen Life podcast. Today on the show, we have Trent Brock. Now, Trent has lived in the United States, New Zealand, and Spain, and he has citizenship in both the USA and New Zealand. Welcome to the show, Brock.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be here.
So we've been chatting a little bit, but tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and kind of why, I guess, you moved between those three countries. I know you've also traveled to several others, but why did you choose to live between the U.S., New Zealand, and Spain?
Well, I'm originally from the States. You can tell that by opening my mouth. It's not too hard. But, you know, I just always kind of had that sense of adventure. And when I graduated from college, I wanted to go and travel and do. And so I graduated in IT and a master's. And so I was kind of a corporate IT software consultant, and I would travel around the country doing IT systems. So I kind of got my taste of travel on their nickel. Right.
Nice.
And so then I kind of had the international bug. I wanted to go international. And the company that I work for kept promising me that I would, and it never worked out. And I said, you know what? I've had enough. I'm just going to go for it. So after about 4 or 5 years, I just packed up. I said, you know what? I've built up some goals in my life over the last 4 or 5 years. I wanted to try to learn Spanish. I wanted to just kind of teach or tutor or see if I wanted to maybe do that as a profession. And I wanted to see the things in our history books. And so I kind of did my research, and I decided Spain is the place for me. So I moved to Madrid, and it was awesome. You know, I did a year. I was an English teacher there, and on my holidays, traveled around, saw everything I could in Western Europe, parts of Eastern Europe, did that whole thing. And I tried to learn Spanish, and let me tell you, total disaster. I do not know why.
My Spanish is horrendous.
It was so tough, especially in Spain. They speak so quickly. Golly, you know,
yes,
I got to where, you know, let me tell you, I thought, you know, everybody says this thing, right? The best thing to do is immerse yourself in the culture and you'll learn the language. Yeah, right.
That's okay? What they say.
It didn't work for me at all. I found myself, alone a lot. And then hanging out with my English teacher friends, because, you know, I mean, if you can't talk to each other, you know, it's tough. I did get to where I could speak, you know, maybe almost intermediate Spanish. Now writing and reading is different than listening. You know, mm-hmm. It's way different because, you know, you live within your vocabulary, and that's a little easier. So, I did that thing, and, you know, being an English teacher wasn't a lot of money. It was more for the love of it and the experience. And so the money wasn't there. And I decided, well, I've done my year and I'm going to go back into IT and make some money. So I thought, you know, the States is so tough. I'm going to go somewhere else. So again, you know, back to the research. And I wanted to go to Australia. Too tough, like with the visa situation and the sponsorship and everything to get into Australia, but I could get into New Zealand, no problem. Like with a visitor visa, like a visitor holiday visa thing, like for a year. And I thought, well, it's close enough. And, you know, let's see what that's about. And I just knew that if I got down there and I got in front of a couple people and I interviewed, I could get a gig, you know? So that's what I did. That's what I did. I packed my suitcase. I didn't really have anything but a couple suitcases worth of clothes. And I moved to New Zealand. It took me a couple months to get an IT job. Once I did that, I was away. And so I did that for 4 or 5 years. And the money was good. And, you know, the career was good, but wasn't fulfilling. And, you know, back in the old days, you know, everybody used to say, you know, think about this in our mind, you know, success is lots of money and employees and owning your own business and, you know, all these things and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's and we were always kind of taught, well, you'll never make big money if you don't work for yourself. Right. You got to do your own thing.
That's right.
So that's right. What I needed to do. and so I was looking for something. And I met this guy in the boxing gym, in New Zealand. He had brought down some American boxers. They were American guys, American manager, and they were training for some boxing matches. Well, I'm in the boxing gym just hanging around, just training, trying to keep in shape. That's it. And so he said, "Look, hey, I took some training with this guy. I really liked his style, liked his boxing style, liked what he was about. It made sense to me." And we would talk before and after the training, and we decided he does farmer market outdoor kettle corn in his home state of Washington. And he just said, "Do they have kettle corn here in New Zealand?" And the light bulb went off.
Nice.
And I went to a couple of local markets, didn't have it, weren't serving it there. I went to the supermarkets, don't have it. And I'm thinking, this is the deal. So we got a little money together. We had some popcorn makers made. We got some tents together, and we started going out to the markets. Well, shall I say, fast forward 14 years later, we're the
Wow.
number two popcorn in the country. We carved out a whole niche in the popcorn market of kettle corn and that style of popcorn and things. And I've got two factories, four popcorn lines, 14, 15 staff, and so that's kind of my story, I guess.
That's incredible. And it's just amazing how those opportunities that kind of appear from nowhere when we just, I don't want to say we're in the right place at the right time, but if you weren't there, but that was part of your lifestyle, as you said, just going to the gym, staying healthy, doing those things, meeting a few people, and you put yourself in that position and that opportunity came and it worked for a very long time.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I don't know, if you've never owned a business, you have no idea. I'm sure that you have some idea about that, because you started over in several countries. And I know you do the global citizenship thing, and it's not the glamour and glitz that everybody thinks it is. It, it,
It's
it's it's a
not.
lot of hard work. You trade in a 40-hour week job to work, to work for someone else, to work 60 or 70 hours a week for yourself. And that's just kind of how it
It's true. I've only had a few jobs in my entire life working for someone else. I've been self-employed since my early 20s and have run businesses. And when I was in Canada, had employees and everything like that. So I do understand. And yeah, it's a tough balancing act in a way for me, in the sense of there's times that I think, why don't I just go get a job? Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. I don't have to worry about anything on the weekends after that. I get a guaranteed pay. But I know it would be great for about 3 weeks. And then I would probably want to stab myself in the eye with a pencil. Not literally, obviously.
Know what you mean.
But it is because and then I talk to people and I go through phases that, it's some days now because I've been in business for a long time, but I have bought and or sorry, I've started and sold businesses. Of mine. And when I move, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm going to do something a little bit different because I get bored. And so I'll sell the old business, start the new one. And the startup it's crazy. So there's times when it's going well that I will work the 4 or 5 hours, a few days here and there. But during this first kind of year, 2 year startup, I'm working 10, 12, 14, even 18 hours. And it's all by myself. I mean, I've got some VAs and things like that. And then, getting the partners and growing it. And it is so much work. And I had somebody the other day say, like, why do you work so much? I said, well, because I said, but it's a lot. I said, yes, but it's a trade-off. I have the ability to travel. I work anywhere in the world. I split my time between Montenegro and Barcelona. I leave in a couple of days to go to Barcelona and I'll be there for a month. And then I'm going to be in Dubai. I've never been to Dubai before. I'll be there for a few weeks. And so I put in time in certain areas where right now I'm really working a lot, like really long, long days, because I know when I get back to Barcelona, I'll still be working, but I want to hang out with my friends. I want to do like Christmassy stuff is coming as we're recording this now. I want to do those Christmassy things for the season because I like that. And when I go see my friend in Dubai, it's definitely a work trip as well. But I haven't seen my friend in a few years. So it's got that greatness that I know that I can put in a lot of extra hours right now, so I don't have to do so much while I'm traveling and making trips. And then, of course, I'll have to put in a lot again after. But I couldn't do that if I had a job.
Right.
It's either you're working kind of that Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, even if it's remote work, you still have everyday meetings, whatever needs to be done, and then the evenings and weekends off, which has some benefit as well. But I love the flexibility more of working for myself than working for someone else. And I get that it's not for everybody. I've got a friend of mine, she says to me, she's like, I don't know how you do it. She's like, from 1 month to another, you don't know how much you're making or what's going on. Or she's like, how you have all these ideas and the things you do. And I said, I don't know how you go to work and do the same thing every day, day after day, for the same people, the same, like, and she's in immigration law. Or sorry, not immigration law anymore, she was, but real estate. So, making sure all the contracts are right and the money's going when people are buying and selling their homes, which we need that. It's great. She's really good at it. She likes it. But I'm like, I couldn't do that same type of thing every single day. It's just, I couldn't. So
I hear you.
it's the benefit, the pros and cons, right? Not everybody's meant to have the global citizen lifestyle. Doesn't work for everybody, but for those that are up for the adventure and enjoy it, it's fabulous.
I agree. I agree, and I feel like a lot of people, Americans, they kind of work their entire lives and then they're going to travel when they're retired or when they're older or whatever. And I'm thinking, God, I mean, a lot of times you get into you think you're going to do that and you get into a position where you kind of can't at that point.
Right.
And so I decided, I'm going for it now while I'm young and while I can. And while I'm single and I don't have anything extra, it's just got to do me, and that's served me well. I've been very pleased. I've been very happy with everything that I've chosen. And I chose a career and I chose to live internationally and go to all these places and do all these things. And I don't have any regrets about that. I really don't.
Right. Well, it's great. And kind of like what you said, when people wait, I mean, there's no guarantee, right? Like, I don't know when my time is up on this planet. I don't know what my finances are going to be like in the future to wait till I'm retired. I don't know. I don't know what my health will be like. Like, I'm healthy, I'm good, I work out, I never get sick, but who knows? Like, we just don't know the future. And I've seen it happen when people wait and then for one of those three or other reasons, then they're not able to go. Or, I'm waiting for retirement. I knew a gentleman who was waiting for retirement and very close to retirement. He's like, oh yeah, my wife and I were going to travel here and here and we're going to do all these things. And he was living in Canada and it was, I had already left and I had gone back and I go back every year. And one of my other friends said, hey, did you hear about this gentleman? And I said, no, what? And he said, he had a heart attack and died. I was like, what? I'm like, no, he's retiring this year. Like, and then they're gonna go travel. And we've talked about all the places. I'm like, no. And they're like, no. And so the work the whole life to think. So I honestly, in a way, I kind of think we do it a little bit backwards. I think we should really get in
Thank
the
you.
travel and the everything early. Get that in because you learn so much, you find new places, new opportunities come that, like, who would have thought you would have had a kettle corn company in New Zealand when you were in high school
Not
or in
me.
college,
No
university,
one.
college, or after, like, things like that, because we just don't know. And if we don't go for, unexpected experiences and do things, we never really know.
That's right. That's right. I fully agree.
So when you were in Spain, what were some of the things that you just loved about living in Spain and being in Madrid? Because Madrid's a very big city,
It is.
being the capital, and it is very Spanish, whereas I'm in Barcelona, and yes, it's Spain, but it's so international that it doesn't really have, it's not like one of the best Spanish type cities to be in.
Sure. Gosh. What did you? So I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. What'd you
Like
ask me?
kind of the best things that you loved about Spain or that you thought were the most unique and different while you were there, that you
Oh,
were just kind of like, whoa, this is cool, but different.
the people. I mean, they're so lively and optimistic and happy and fun and talkative and it's very relaxed, it's very carefree. It's as you think as European. I mean, they stay out late, they hang around. They're just fun. They're really fun. And there's always a party of some sort going on. I mean, around the country there is always something. I mean, there's running of the bulls, there's Las Fallas, there's this, there's that, there's always something, and I looked at my calendar and I went with my teacher buddy and we like pick our places and get our bus and we're off to do the thing. And
Follow the fiestas.
yeah, God, I think in a lot of regard, they're very relaxed. It's very different than the typical American psyche, I guess. And it's just different. It was really my first experience to kind of it, be in a fully immersed different culture. And and I liked it. And one of the things is that I've learned is be open-minded to what other people are doing, because maybe they do it better. And better is a relative term. It,
Of
maybe
course.
they do it a little different, and maybe they've got it right, and maybe we don't. And that's one of the things that I've learned, going to all the different countries and being in different places, and all the places I've experienced, and then New Zealand for 15, 16 years I lived there. So I mean, that's it. They speak English, but my oh my, what a different culture, So,
Okay. How was that then? So let's first go back a little bit to compare that. Spain was great. You did your year there, loved it. Very different from North America or the US. And then now all of a sudden you're in New Zealand, which very different from Spain again.
yes, yeah. It's like a white inhabited island. But we're on island time. Okay. So, you kind of have this kind of a bit of, like the corporate culture and those kind of things. But then it's very laid back. It's kind of a combination of kind of the American lifestyle and maybe a little bit of the European. And I think they take a little bit of both. And
Perfect.
it's quite different, I think to be an employee there is nice. I think to be an employer there is very tough.
Oh, interesting.
And I have obviously a bit of a different viewpoint because I've owned a small business for 12, 13 years. So it's just it's very it's semi-socialized there. People are laid back. I mean, it's an island. People are laid back. They're not worried about it. It's kind of like what Americans think of what Mexico's like. Mañana, mañana. Who cares?
It'll eventually get done.
It served me well because I'm kind of a go-getter, and I'm going to go
Okay.
for it. And so that served me well. But then when you need something done, or it's an emergency and people aren't on the hustle as much, you it took a long time for me to adapt to that kind of thing. And it's there's lots of holidays, there's lots of time off, there's a lot of benefits, there's lots of benefits. And yeah, it's just it, it's tough to run a business there. When people are like, hey, you know what, I got enough money for the week, I don't need to come to work for the rest of the week. And a lot of people kind of have that mindset there. And so it's just kind of that island culture that it is. And it's different. I mean, I definitely don't want to give it a negative slant in any regard. Because most people wouldn't know what I know being on the inside, right? I mean, if you go there and you go to tour, you go to see the place. I mean, you're gonna think it's the most beautiful country I've ever been to. The people are the nicest people I've ever met. They're so inquisitive, they're so nice, they're very non-confrontational, and it's a great place to visit. It's a wonderful place to visit. I think it's a great place to live. I think it's kind of a tough place to own a business.
And that's a fair, that's your experience. So that's fair. And I've lived in several countries, and for various reasons, some of them I would definitely not want to own a business. And I find, as like the things that you're saying, and I almost did, I almost went into business in Costa Rica. And a friend of mine and I were looking at a restaurant. And thank goodness it just didn't work out because, in hindsight, and even there, I have other friends who own restaurants and things like that, and seeing, and they are very mañana, like there's no rush. Tomorrow we'll get to it. And there's certain things that you can't just do. And I lived there for 4 or 5 years. I love Costa Rica. It's beautiful. It's great. But I think as a business owner, and of course, that's the restaurant industry. That's all I really know. I maybe other businesses could be different, but you have to consider the type of business that a person wants to do, what the lifestyle is like. If it is that more laid back, relaxed, then especially coming from North America, where we're very go, 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 this gets done now. We need this now, today, and we're used to it. We expect it. So I found, even talking with some people that don't even go into business, that they say, yes, I want a laid back, relaxed lifestyle, that it still takes them at least a year to adjust, because even when their fridge breaks, they're like, yeah, well, I need somebody here like in a few hours, at least today. Yeah, we might get there tomorrow. Like, no, that's not good enough. But, and so it really is adjusting to that new home and the lifestyle. So even though we want it, we think it's great at first when we're on vacation.
Oh
Every
yeah.
place is great when we're on vacation because we're on
Oh yeah.
vacation.
That's
It's
right. That's
always
right.
good. We don't
Yeah.
see how things really work and to truly know. And that's another thing too. It's, just because you love going somewhere on vacation doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to love living there, because it's very different.
Big point. Big point that I think a lot of people get caught up in. Yeah.
I
Yeah.
mean, on vacation, there's many countries that I would love. Like, I love all the pretty much basically almost all the countries I've been to. I don't want to say that I've hated any of them, because I haven't. But some I just like more than others. But I know that living there, for some, there's no way after a short period of time, a few months, 6 months, usually most people kind of that 6 to 8 months. The newness has worn off. They know where the shops are. They know where things are. And then it starts to be, oh, now I see the cracks in the system. Now I see, oh, the bus is always late. What if I have an appointment when I'm on vacation? Oh, the bus is late. I'm on vacation. I don't have anywhere to be. It's fine. And it's those things that can start to make a big difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And if you're not the kind of person or you're not open-minded to that, it can be very tough. If you don't roll with the punches, it's like once you kind of get outside of the States, I think you have to just roll with the punches on a lot of things because this, I mean, nothing's perfect, and the US isn't perfect, but it's one of the best places you're gonna get, I think, as far as, living and what people expect and the quality of life that people, know and expect is very different than in a lot of other places and countries,
Yeah, and I think though we just, I mean, first of all, we have to take care of ourselves, right? Like, we can't expect everything to be perfect and people to be like, oh, you're a foreigner. Well, here, let me do even more for you. It's no, I have to learn what it's like here, how things work, and take responsibility. But as you said, to either kind of roll with those punches, but those punches are also just sometimes things that we just don't know, we're not aware of. And then once we know them, and we're used to them, we're like, oh, this is how, oh, okay, makes sense. Like siesta time in Spain. Everything closes in the afternoon, and in a lot of places still does. Obviously, touristy areas don't. So I had to kind of rework my schedule because I really like getting up in the morning. I would do some work. Then in the afternoon, I would take a break, go shopping, do whatever errands I need to do, whatever, and then work again in the evening. Well, I couldn't do that in Spain. I mean, I tried. There was so many times that I would go out and stores would be closed. I'm like, damn it. Because I just forgot like many times. It's not because I'm not out shopping every afternoon, but many times. So I had to rearrange my schedule, the way that I worked and the things that I did. So then I would either get up earlier or do some shopping or errands first thing in the morning, then work in the afternoon or however, because working for myself, I would just different days, different things. But once I got used to that, then it was great. It just took a while of many times going out, and like there was one Italian shop that I bought specific things from. So I'd be like, oh, I need coffee or I need a few things, and I would go there and they'd be closed. And it happened many times before I finally learned it's sometimes it's a little thick getting through here.
Well, and sometimes, they're supposed to be open and they just have a sign on the door. And it's
That
like, we're
too.
closed today. We're closed today. And you're like, it's a Tuesday. What? It's just like, well, we don't have anybody to work today. And so we're closed. And you're just like, that doesn't work. That doesn't make sense. Like, that's not acceptable. But it is.
It is, but there it is, and in a lot of places in Europe. Yeah, I'm going to say a lot. I'm not going to say everywhere because there's always exceptions. But in a lot of countries and the cities, like things are still closed on Sundays. Now, some cities now have more things that are open than others, and some countries vary a little bit. But in Montenegro, everything is closed on Sunday except for like restaurants. Some of the restaurants will stay open, but everything else is closed. In Barcelona, almost everything is closed. There'll be the odd small, like a 24-hour shop. Those will stay open. So yeah, if you forgot milk or you need cheese or something, you're going to pay a lot more for it, but you can get it. Montenegro, no, you go without. You have to now wait till Monday. Like there's not those things, and so that's adjusting. So I always have to think, what day is it? Do I need anything, or I go without? And then the holidays, thank goodness I've got some WhatsApp groups and things like that, and there's a lot of expats in there, and so they're really good because some of them have been here for a long time and say, hey, just so everybody knows, it's whatever holiday coming up, stores are closed for 2 days, 3 days, sometimes even 4 days. I feel like the other one was 4 days not that long ago. I was like, 4 days? I need to go get some stuff then, because here is very different than US too. We don't shop for things for a week or 2 weeks. Lots of times it's you pick up for a few days and you go buy stuff again in a few more days.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
So that's a big difference. And so now you've kind of come full circle. You are back in the United States now.
I ran into some health issues when I was on top of the popcorn world about 4 years ago. And I got diagnosed with hip bone cancer. And it was dramatic. They had to take my hip out and we're gonna have to take my leg off. And I got to save the leg, luckily. And it was massive. They've removed everything from my hip over.
So sorry to interrupt there. So this, were you in New Zealand and had this
Correct.
procedure done in New Zealand? Okay. I just wanted to,
This kind of brings us into probably a comparison, in a minute about the difference between public health care and private health care. And so I made it through that. And with everybody in New Zealand has public health care. I mean, like 90% of something people. And when I reviewed, like getting private versus public and pay extra money, it was like, well, nothing's covered in this private plan, so why would I even pay for it, And so, I mean, everybody uses public health care. It's just one of the benefits of living there. And so, I got through that, and then the next thing I was diagnosed with pancreatic and lung cancer. And pancreatic cancer is less than a 5% chance to make it. And so that was obviously the definitely more serious thing. Well, they did the pancreas surgery and it ended up being a misdiagnosis. And so they removed half my pancreas and spleen for no reason. And I got an arrogant like answer back from the doctor about what happened. And he said, well, it was a blood clot and we couldn't tell what it was during the surgery. And in the States, that wouldn't be good enough, but there it's public. And
It's
so, what are you going to
mistakes
do about
happen,
it?
sorry,
Yeah, that's right.
kind of
Get out of my
thing.
office. You're
It's
wasting my time, you know? And so then I had the lung surgery thing. And then the next scan was about, I'd say, a year and a half after that. I really had pancreas cancer. And so then I was really diagnosed with it. And you know, I was back and forth with this doctor. I had the same surgeon that I had had that had the misdiagnosis. They wouldn't give me anyone else because he's the best in the country. And so you know, he and I went back and forth. And when you want an appointment, when you request an appointment or a surgery, you know, in that system, it's like they diagnose you with something, and it could be 3, 4 months, 6 months, something down the road. Like when I got diagnosed with pancreas cancer, I mean, the hip cancer to when I had surgery was 6 months.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine how much it ate up of me, you
Oh,
know,
yeah.
waiting for it to get done, you know, and those kind of things happen a lot, unfortunately. And you know, people die. People die because it's the system isn't moving quickly
They're
enough.
waiting.
Or you know, the other thing is you know, there aren't any consequences for a mistake. And so, you know, in the States, unfortunately, I'm not saying this is the best solution, but you know, in the States, if you do something wrong, people sue you,
Yes.
right? They sue you for a lot of money. And so
Yes.
doctors have, you know, that motivation or that consequence or integrity behind them to say, you know what, I'm gonna do the best I can. Well, in a public system, there is no consequences. It's a, I'm sorry, you know, and I only have 2 or 3 minutes with you kind of thing. And so, yeah. So then, anyways, I had the pancreas cancer and, you know, I had the appointments and I had gotten a lot smarter at this time. I was starting to request the scan reports. I was reading them the best I could. I was getting the doctor's notes. I was reading everything that I could. And even though I understand everything, I mean, you can get the gist of what they're saying, right? And so this thing grew and I'll just show you just to give you an idea. This thing grew when they found it on a scan to, oh goodness, where is this? To the size of 2 nickels. That's when they found it. Okay. A couple of appointments, a couple of what are we going to do? And I'm like, I want to do radiation. And he's like, well, I want to cut it out. And I'm like, you're not cutting it out because you already made a mistake. And so we're back and forth over several months. And he said, hey, this is slow growing. And so after about 4 months, and I finally got a biopsy and it proved it was cancer, it was the size of a tennis ball.
And that's
Okay.
slow growing.
That's what he told me. And so I realized I'm like, this is getting serious. And it's and so I went to a private doctor and he said, look, he said, this is now grown into your stomach and there's nothing we can do. I said, what about surgery? And he said, we won't do surgery because it's too risky. You could bleed to death on the operating table. And I said, well, okay, well, what about cutting it out, even though I don't want you to? And he said, we or I said, what about radiation? And he said, we can't do that either because we could burn a hole through you and I won't know and you could bleed to death internally and I'm not going to recommend anything for you. And I said, so you know, like we've waited around and now so what can we do? You know, and he said, well, there aren't any options. And I said, so I can go home. And he said, well, yeah, you know, you have a chance to make it. And I said, doctor, let's be honest with one another. I know with treatment, I have a less than 5% chance to make it, and you're telling me to go home without treatment, and I may make it. And he said, you're telling me to go home and die. And you know, and he just said, there's nothing I can do for you. And so At that point, I was like, you know what, I got to go back to the States, you know? And the thing was, I didn't think I could get public, I didn't think I could get health insurance because I had not lived in the States so long. And I haven't
And now
been
it's a
here in so long.
pre-existing condition,
Yeah,
which
exactly.
most companies are like, no pre-existing conditions.
I mean, but I felt called like I was like, well, this is the best health care I'm going to get. And then if I come back to the States, like I can't afford that. I'm going to die anyways, So. And then I found that pre-existing condition thing, and that changed everything. And so I came home, and by that time, let me show you. This was July of 21. The tumor was that big. I couldn't eat. I was losing weight. My stomach hurt all the time. I mean, obviously, if something that big is pushing on your stomach, it's just common sense, So, we rated 80, we did the radiation, we've done some immunotherapy, and the hip cancer left me handicapped with one of my legs being shorter than the other. So, like a regular shoe would be, just to kind of give you an idea, a regular shoe is like that. And when I first had the surgery, it was a lift like that. Well, they thought it was infected after a year because they had put a little wire in there to hold my leg bone to the rest of my spine. And once they removed that, there was nothing to stop it. So my shoe became that.
Wow, that's a big
So
difference. So for
that's
those
like
people that are just listening, how many inches is that roughly?
4 1/4. I would compare it
Okay.
to walking in stiletto heels on jello. Okay.
Wow.
And so I've been on crutches 4.5, 5 years. Well, earlier this year, I just, one of those, I don't give up. I just never quit. And I was told that once I had the hip surgery, I would be on crutches. I would be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. And I'm just like, I can't accept that. And so I found a doctor at Mayo Clinic, and recently he put in the largest, most customized hip implant ever done in the world that we know of. And so just to give you an idea, that's what my hip implant looks like.
Wow.
And that would this would kind of be what a normal one would look like. So you got an idea, and this wouldn't have been possible if I didn't have, healthcare in the States, And so, for me, that's just kind of a comparison of it. I wouldn't be here, if, I didn't have an option to come back to the States. I mean, thank God, I'm a dual citizen. I can kind of pick and choose what I want to do, and it gives me some options. 'Cause, God forbid, I mean, if I was just, a Kiwi, we wouldn't be
That would have
talking.
been it.
Yeah, that would
And
have been it.
it's one thing that I don't think people really think about when I tell everybody having dual citizenship is super important. It should be like high on our priority list. And not necessarily like even if you never move back to New Zealand or even if you a person never uses that other citizenship to live within that country, it's always about having options because we never know what may happen in the future. So, and again, you never know. Maybe in 5 years you might say, hey, you know what? I've been doing great. My health is all better. I've been clean bill of health for 5 years now. And yeah, I wouldn't mind going back to New Zealand. Things are getting kind of crazy in the US. I want to go back to New Zealand for a few years. Just, you know,
Sure.
even if it's just a few years to kind of see how things go,
Right.
you know, or whatever. It gives options and it's very important to have those options. And when we think of healthcare systems, I mean there's pros and cons to both. So coming from Canada, everybody has healthcare. People say it's free. It's not free. We pay a lot of taxes. Our taxes go to healthcare. So, you
Exactly.
know, we are inadvertently, indirectly paying for it. But the downfall with that, with a lot, is wait times. That those wait times can be long. If you need a hip, knee replacement, things like that. My mom recently went through cancer. She was lucky in many ways. They found it really fast. She had two separate cancers, a lung cancer. When they did the scan of the lung, Well, first she was fainting. So they scanned her brain to see why she was fainting. They never figured out why she was fainting to this day. But when they did the scan of her head, the scan went down just low enough where they noticed something on her lung. Turned out that it was lung cancer. And
Wow.
so when they did the scan of the lungs, because they were going to do surgery, they wanted to make sure that it was just that one spot, nowhere else, of course. And when they did that scan, it went low enough, just enough to catch a mark on her pancreas. And she also had pancreas cancer. So she had part of her lung removed. She got out of the hospital the next day, which was amazing. And that day, her doctor called her to tell her she also had pancreatic cancer, which I was so mad at her doctor. It's like, at least just give her the weekend to rest. Like she just
Right.
got out of the hospital. But luckily, they caught it so fast because if they didn't have, if that scan just didn't go down just as low as it did, we would have never have known until it was too late. So then she did had a second surgery, did chemo for a while, and she's doing great, doing good. Everything is all good now. So she's it's good. And she did get in quite quickly. Canada's very good for that. Getting her in quickly, had a great experience. But I know that there's going to be other people in Canada who haven't had good experiences.
Sure.
Just like
Well,
for you in New Zealand, I'm sure there's some that, you know, they caught it fast, they had good experiences and they didn't, or people that I hear about in the United States that can't afford health care and then they don't have good experiences because they don't have health care. So there's
I
no.
realized. I realize looking back, kind of after the 6 month thing being in New Zealand with the pancreatic cancer, that they were politely waiting me out. They weren't going to do anything.
That's really unfortunate.
Yeah,
It's
I
so
know.
bad,
It's
like unethical, really.
I mean, like some really terrible things, like they had found I know from the previous reports and the scans that they knew I had pancreas cancer since November. And I had had an appointment. No one told me. I didn't even get told until like February.
Oh,
So
that's awful.
I'd had it for 3 months, and this thing, you saw this thing's growing like a
Yeah.
weed, and I'm like,
No.
and you don't get in to talk to, you go there expecting to have a serious conversation with the surgeon, and you get some junior person that you don't even know. And that's like that's not even from the country, so
Right.
and they don't even speak English properly, and you're kind
Oh,
of just
that's
like,
tough then. It's because you're dealing with my life. This is my life we're talking about.
I don't, like I if you have tried to speak English, I am going to go to the nth degree to try to listen to you, especially because I was an English teacher and I understand and tried to learn Spanish. I understand how hard it is to make an effort to learn, do some. So if you're making an effort to try to speak another language and it's English, I'm going to listen as well as I can. But
Right.
there is a little something to it when you're like, golly, this is a pretty serious topic. And, I'm just a little concerned about the delivery.
Right. And especially too, I mean, you're in an English-speaking country. Like I would get it if you were in Malaysia, Japan, China, like just, you know, any country that English really isn't spoken. Even, well, I don't want to say Spain too much, but even parts of Spain, but in the big hospitals and places, they're quite good with having English speaking doctors and things. Then it would be a little bit more understandable. Of course, you know, I'm in a foreign country. English is not the first language. It's going to be a little bit more challenging. Let me find a translator who can come with me. But
That's interesting. There's a guy that I hang around with and that I go to yoga with at the local cancer society, and he's from Mexico originally, and he moved here and he's lived here 25, 30 years, right? But he goes to the doctor, and when I talk to him, some of the things that he says, I realize that he didn't fully comprehend what the doctor is saying to him,
Right.
and I'm just like, man, like it's so, when you go in and you speak to the doctor about something that's life and death, guy, you really need to understand every word and every point And you could miss something. And this guy's been living here, 25, 30 years, speaks fluent English, right? Fluently. But you get into a specialty thing like maybe that medical field. Gosh, and so, I offer to go with them. I offer to go with them and say, hey, look, I'll just sit, and if you don't understand something, I'll help you.
Right,
And
that's very nice. Yeah. Well, and even because dealing with things like that, like even with my mom, I would ask her questions. Well, did you ask the doctor this, or what about that, or what about this? Now, I little kind of caveat to that. So I was an EMT, so worked on an ambulance. So I do have in emergency stuff. I teach first aid, CPR, which isn't, but there I have bits of medical things. So sometimes I think about different questions where she has zero type of medical background whatsoever. And so I would ask her questions, and lots of times she'd be like, well, I don't know. I'm like, well, what did they say, this or this? And she's like, oh, I don't remember. And I get it in ways too, because I'm looking at it as a perspective, like it's not about me, right? So I'm not going through it. I'm not like, so I'm not sitting in front of the doctor where the doctor's telling me stuff and my brain is kind of all over the place, right? I'm listening, but yeah, like I have cancer. I have can and you probably talked for 5 minutes and all I heard was, I have cancer, right?
That's
And
exactly what
so
happened.
even with appointments going too, so what was good is she would always have either my stepdad was with her, or if they called, it was always put on speakerphone. So then, he could listen too. They could both ask questions, or if one was like, wait a minute, did when we were on the phone earlier, did they say this or that? Right? Because sometimes with that, and I mean, we don't go through that normally a lot. And so the first time they're hearing words and phrases and things that they're gonna do that they're like, you're gonna do what? Like, I don't even know what that is. I understand what you're saying, but I don't understand what you're saying. And that's the thing with medical and situations like that that people go through, that for the doctor, they're like, okay, this, because they go through it every day, hundreds of thousands of times throughout their career, where most people only hear it once or twice, maybe if they don't go through it a lot. And so it does make a big difference.
I agree. I fully agree. I record a lot of mine just so I can go back and listen to it, because you're exactly right. You have this, you kind of have a plan, or a plan of attack of what you're going to say, and you go in there. And what I like to do is, I come in and I just let the doctor just say everything first, and then I'm gonna fill in with my questions. But sometimes, man, blows you out of the water so bad you blank out, and you've been sitting there for 30 minutes and you don't even know what you talked about. You have no clue, and some of the things that they've said are really, really important. Are choices you need to make about, am I gonna go this way or that way? And it could actually, cost you your life. So yeah, that's one of the things. When I lived in Spain, a couple times, I was sick, or I had to deal with my ankle once, and I'm just it, I was like, I was deathly, I was like, I can't go to the doctor because I can't even explain what's going on. And I thought for a while, I was like, this ankle thing doesn't straighten out, I'm gonna have to go back to the States because I don't know what's going on with this thing. And I mean, that was, that was, almost 20 years ago, right? So,
And that was just your thought at the time. It was your first time out of the country, first time in a place. I mean, things now are different. We have the internet, we have translation. I mean, of course it's different now, but going back to that, but it was your experience, and at that time was probably what other people had the similar experience or thoughts as well.
So, it's just but hey, we got through it, figured out a way, and that's kind of what it is about being that adventurous, traveling spirit. You're just gonna keep going, keep
Keep
rolling with
going.
it. You'll
And
figure it out.
I mean, and who knows if those things, if you weren't in New Zealand and you were back in the United States at the beginning of this whole process, starting with the hip, everything could have been different. right? Like maybe it wasn't found. Maybe you didn't go to the doctor sooner. Like we never really know what the outcome was going to be if we were in a different situation. We easily think, oh, well, if I was here instead of there, then this, and this would have happened. But that's not necessarily true. Like we just don't know. It could have been, you could have had other things going on that it could have been a lot longer before you even noticed it. You could have had that initial doctor could have been worse than the one that you had in New Zealand. Like, who
Yeah.
knows, right? And so we
That's right.
can't shoulda, coulda, woulda
Oh
ourself.
yeah.
We just got to
Oh
be
man.
like, this is what it is right now. These are the options that I have. And as you say, roll with the punches. And
That's it.
those are some
That's
pretty
it.
hard punches, not gonna lie. Those are some
No
pretty hard
doubt, no
punches.
doubt. Yeah, knock a guy down, but just hard-headed and keep getting back up. That's what
It's,
I think,
yeah. I
Gosh.
mean, but that's it's life and everybody's punches are different.
Yeah, that's true. That's
And
true.
we
That's
just
what
got to keep going
so
because, and now
beautiful.
look, things are, you seem like you're doing great. Things seem to be going well and doing good. I mean, of course, there's always bumps in the road, but that's
That's
everybody's
right.
life. We all have them. Some people just lie about them and say they don't, but everybody does.
I agree. If they haven't had error, yeah, I fully agree. You look at somebody's thing on social media and you're like, no one's life is this perfect.
No, of course not.
It's not, it's just not. Yeah, so whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a trend for our listeners who, now that they've listened to their story and they may be a little bit concerned about the healthcare, and
Oh.
rightfully so, it's one of those things that is a consideration of moving abroad. And in my opinion, it's quality of life, healthcare, weather for me. Like I never want to live anywhere that's cold. I did that in Canada. I'm done with that now,
Fair
and
enough.
everybody's things are different. But for people who are kind of on the fence, what piece of advice or what would you say to them about, moving abroad for
I would
forever, for a few
say,
years?
gosh, I would say, you know what? I mean, the information's at your fingertips. Do as much research as you can. I would talk to somebody that has lived overseas. I would talk to somebody that has lived at the in the place that you would want to go, and I would ask them some of the pros and cons. And if you really want to go somewhere, maybe before you fully commit, if you can, maybe you go visit. And just dip your toe in and kind of see what it's like before you fully commit. Now, some people don't have that opportunity. Some people aren't like that. They just pack up and they just go and they're just going to make the best of it. I've done that a few times and it worked out okay. But God, I think, you just have to go into it like almost any other situation and just be open-minded.
Right.
Be open-minded and realize that things are so different than they used to be. And the information's out there. People are around that will help you, and people will help you if you ask for help,
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Trent, I just want to say thank you very much for your time today. Thank you for sharing your story and your experience with everybody. I'm sure it's brought a lot of valuable information to our listeners today.
Thank you. I really
And just
appreciate you letting me
one.
come on today.
Great. And if people wanted to follow your story and continue to follow your journey, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can just see me on, I'm on Facebook and Instagram. It's just Trent Brock. And you look me up and I'm the guy that's kind of doing the victory pose like that, trying to win every day. That's all we're trying to do.
Perfect, day by day. And we'll put links to everything in our show notes below for everybody. So once again, thank you very much, Trent.
My pleasure. Thank you, Sally.